You are listening to KNNA LP 95.7 FM, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Indigo Painting is a registered and insured painting contractor in Lincoln, Nebraska. For new construction or home improvement, Indigo Painting can help you with your interior or exterior painting projects, including doors, windows, accent walls, wood staining, and drywall repairs. You can contact Indigo Painting by calling 402-610-1872. That's Indigo Painting at 402-610-1872.
Radio is not free. Well, maybe for you, the listener, it is, but here at KNNA 95.7 FM, not so much. Every year, there are expenses that must be met. The only way for that to happen is if a fantastic person, such as yourself, donates to KNNA The Cross. Come on over to thecross957.org for more information and to donate. Help keep this station alive and well. Once again, that is thecross957.org.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'd like to invite you to join us to worship with us at Good Shepherd. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages in between. We also worship each Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Please join us, won't you? We're located just north of 40th and Old Cheney. Thank you, and may God richly bless you today and always in Jesus.
And I'm Ashley.
And we host Notes from the Stage, KNNA LP 95.7 FM's Broadway and movie musical extravaganza.
Every Thursday night from 5 to 6 p.m., we will bring you all that jazz, music to make you think you can defy gravity, and even remind you of dreams you've dreamed.
So don't forget to tune in right here on KNNA LP 95.7 FM.
My heart wants to beat like the wings of the birds that rise from the lake to the trees.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Y-Files.
Hello.
It's a great part of your radio time to listen to some amazing and tough questions that we ask here on the Y-Files.
Yeah, a little Christian apologetics.
Yeah, yeah. And so there's also some exciting news along with the Y-Files.
Yeah?
We're not just broadcasting here in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah?
Anymore. We're also going to be broadcasting at KRRCLP in Rogue River, Oregon.
Nice.
So we welcome them, Rogue River, welcome to the Y-Files. So
yeah.
I let Pastor Gagline, who is very heavily involved with that radio station, who mm-hmm. does Table Talk Radio, as well as Once for All that we have here on KNNA as well.
Right.
I told him I was going to do my best to make sure I was not going to put a bunch of KNNA stuff and hey, you're listening to Lincoln KNNA, but if I'm going to
see.
I'm going to do both. So you're listening to KNNA LP and KRRC LP.
Nice.
So if you're curious about KRRC LP, you can go to our homepage, the KNNA homepage, thecross957.org, and you can scroll down and there's a link to 94.3 KRRC LP in Rogue River, Oregon.
And they're also a community volunteer station, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's, and it's mostly run by Pastor Gagline.
I see.
I did not know that. So,
I see.
He's got a lot of work out there. But it's really exciting to know that this program is not just playing here in Nebraska,
mm-hmm.
but also now in Oregon.
Yeah.
And we're trying our best to network out to other low-power radio stations and what have you. And there's not very many, but I know they're out there. So hopefully we can...
Hopefully that'll mean more listener questions.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That would be really cool. So listener questions can be submitted to our Y-Files page, facebook.com/theYFiles, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's what it is. So.
Yep, letter Y-Files.
Letter Y. So this is, again, the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk, and David is here. And we've asked questions like, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? How was God three persons yet one God? If faith in Jesus saves, and what's with the sacraments? We've had questions about abortion. We've talked about, as we always mention every time we have a show,
Are there aliens?
We talked about that one. We have talked about the rapture, the Bible code, the creation and the flood, the death penalty, depression and anxiety. You can go to the website and listen to those shows on demand. There's quite a bit of them. There's about 28, 29. I had mm-hmm. to count again. But yeah. Yeah, so we've got more questions for you today. So joining us once again this afternoon is Pastor Jesse Burns, who I know has been very busy, but I'm glad he's here, and I really appreciate it. So thanks for coming on, Pastor Burns. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Can I just give a shout-out to Pastor Gagline as well?
Yeah.
He and I were at the seminary together. We did our field work at the same church together and got to know him pretty well. He's a good man and a good, faithful pastor. And it's an honor to be on your radio waves, but also now on his. So, hi, Pastor Gagline.
Awesome. I am really excited about this kind of a network thing that mm-hmm. we've got started. It's pretty exciting to know that, especially with these important questions and other theological discussions that our radio stations have, more and more people are now able to listen. So mm-hmm. that's pretty exciting. So, okay, I've done enough talking. Mm-hmm. David, let's get to our first question that we have.
All right, first question. First of all, I'm confused. God comes to us, but aren't we supposed to find him? Just a couple of verses that sort of spurred this question. Jeremiah 29:12. It says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. Deuteronomy 4:29 also says, Lord, your God, and you... excuse me, I wrote that wrong. Lord, your God, and you will find him. Pray to the Lord your God, and you will find him. If you search after him with all your heart and soul, you will find him.
So this question comes from... the fact that God gives us the Holy Spirit. So he comes to us. Jesus came to us here on earth to save us from our sins. And there's nothing that we can do to save us.
Mm-hmm.
So then you read passages like that, and now we're supposed to go to God. That's a law thing. You know, that sounds like we're supposed to do something. So, and then you'll hear this in evangelical areas too, where you need to go find God, you need to have
right.
more Jesus in your life, kind of a thing. So that's also where that kind of comes from.
You need to ask Jesus into your heart.
Yeah,
kind of
ask
the whole
Jesus.
Decision theology.
Yeah, and that does tie into it. So I'm a little confused. You know, Jesus comes to us, but we're supposed to find him. Oh, can you help explain this, Pastor Burns?
Sure. I think it's always important to look at the context of verses, and this is where sometimes when we kind of pull verses out of context, we can get ourselves into a little bit of trouble theologically. If you look at the text from Jeremiah, here the Lord is speaking to his people who are in exile.
Mm-hmm.
And he has told them that for 70 years they're going to be here in exile in Babylon. And he tells them earlier in the chapter, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters, and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for it is welfare. For in its welfare you will have welfare. And he goes on to say here, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you, and do not listen to the dreamers which they dream. For they will prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. So the Lord is promising to restore his people to their land and to the temple. He is promising them that he is going to be faithful to them, and that he's going to rescue them. And that because he rescues them, they then have the promise that he hears them, and that they will once again come and pray to him, even there in Jerusalem, and that he will be there with them. He will hear them. He will answer them. And so this is not the same as so many of our you mentioned our evangelical friends who have this idea of, you know, needing to ask Jesus to come into my heart to save me, or I need to go and find God as if he's some kind of nebulous being floating around in the atmosphere and I have to go and search for him. This is God speaking to his people, to those whom he has already called to be his own, those whom he has already given an identity to, and he is promising to be there for them and to hear them. And so, you know, God is not lost. He doesn't need to be found in the sense that that he's, you know, somewhere out there and we need to go and to find him, but rather he's promising this this faithfulness to them. Mm-hmm. You know, in many ways it's like Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer, and the Catechism says of the introduction of the Lord's Prayer, you know, the words "Our Father." With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he's our true father and we are his true children. So with all boldness and confidence, we may ask him as dear children ask their dear father. He's giving us a command to pray to him, and he's promising to hear. You know, he's promising to hear us when we call to him, to seek him, to seek his face. That is to cry out to him, but not seek in the sense of he's lost, but seek in the sense of confessing that faith and looking out for him. And so with this idea of we're supposed to find him, we as the people of God have been told where he is to be found. Like Israel, we have been called out from the nations and made God's people in our baptism, and so we know exactly where he's going to be for us, where to, you know, find him, if you will, and that is in the life of the church. That is where his people gather together around his word and around his sacraments. In baptism, he's promised, "Lo, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." He's promised us that those who hear his preachers hear him. He says to the apostles, "He who hears you hears me." He's given the promise to the apostles on Easter night, "Whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven." He's given the promise with the Lord's Supper, "Do this in remembrance of me." And when God speaks of remembering, it's act. God is acting. So we know that where God is to be found, not as though he's lost, but where he promises to be for us.
Joining us this afternoon here on the Y Files is Pastor Jesse Burns, and we're discussing, do we have to go find God, or is God already with us?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a follow-up question to that.
I have one too.
Okay, well, we'll do yours first. So when we come back, we'll do follow-up questions, and we'll continue this topic, and then we've got some more questions coming up, so don't go away. Stay tuned for more Y-Files, and while you're waiting, you can listen to our spots here, but you can also go go to thecross957.org, go to the Y-Files page, check that out, and go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/theyfiles. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Gettysburg, Shiloh, Antietam, Pea Ridge, Vicksburg, Chickamauga, Cold Harbor, The Wilderness, Fredericksburg, Appomattox Courthouse. These names stir up thoughts and images of the bloodiest conflict in American history. Brother versus brother. North versus South, Grant versus Lee, Lincoln versus Davis, the American Civil War. It has been said that those who fail to learn from their history are doomed to repeat it. We invite you to listen and learn as KNNALP 95.7 The Cross brings to you the Civil War Podcast. Tune in every Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m. for a new episode. That's The Civil War Podcast, Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m., right here on KNNA 95.7 The Cross. Chancellorsville, Missionary Ridge, Island Number 10, Fort Pillow, Petersburg, Malvern Tavern.
Welcome back to the Y-Files, and welcome Rogue River, Oregon, out at KRRCLP. Thanks for joining us, because we are here in Lincoln, Nebraska, at KNNALP. So it's really cool to get a network started between these two radio stations. So thanks for tuning in. Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Jesse Burns from Ventura, Iowa. And we have been discussing, is it us that finds Jesus, or is it Jesus that comes to us, God that comes to us? And we went through quite a bit of that. Really good information right there. Very pithy. Pithy is good. Mm-hmm. Pithy is good. So, David, you had a question in relation to what we've been talking about. So what's your question?
Yeah, you mentioned context of the verses, and part of the context being a specific historical happenstance. I've always wondered, and this is a question generally for interpreting scripture, does historical context sometimes mean that we can't exactly apply a verse to us here today?
In some cases, yeah. Yes. I think what we see here, I mean, the God is omnipotent and he knows all things. And for his people, always, his plan for his people is always for our well-being. Mm-hmm. It's always for our good, even though sometimes it doesn't seem to be for our good. So, for example, we take Israel. They've been led off into exile, exiled to the Babylonians, and these were not nice people. Mm-hmm. And yet it is ultimately for not only Israel's good, for our good. Ultimately, it's going to serve us in that, God is going to lead these people out of exile and restore them to the land. And it's through these people that our Lord is going to send his son to be the redeemer, not only of Israel, but as we heard today in the epistle reading, of the Gentiles as well. And so it's for our good. So you can't always take something out of context and make it somehow kind of. Sometimes I talk about over spiritualizing the text, mm-hmm. Right? In divorcing it from its historical context and trying to turn it into some sort of mystical thing for us.
Right.
Does the Lord know know the plans that he has for us? Yes. For our welfare? Yes. Ultimately, that's Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's given us a future and a hope in Christ. Historically, here, you know, he's also talking about restoring them from exile, but ultimately saving us in his son Jesus.
That answer your question?
That pretty much wraps it up, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. So one of the things that you mentioned, Pastor, was God is always with us. Okay. But then that kind of stirred up a question to me. Is God also with non-believers then? Or is he just with those who believe in him?
So we're kind of getting into the question of, you know, God's omnipresence. And, okay, where is God, right? God is everywhere. That's true. Sometimes people will use that as an excuse to say, I don't need to go to church. I can look out my window here and see a whole bunch of people out ice fishing on the lake. And I know as a fact, because during Bible study, I can look out over the lake and see them all out there ice fishing. I know that some people, I don't know these people, I shouldn't pick on them, but we use that as a visual. Some people use the excuse, I don't need to come to church because I'm communing with God in nature. I'm sitting on the lake fishing, and I'm communing with God. I'm in his creation, and I'm thankful for this beautiful lake he's given, or the trees and the birds and all of this. God is everywhere, so I'm out here with God. Well, okay. But God has not promised to be there for you. There's a difference. God is everywhere, but where is he specifically making himself present for you to deliver to you his grace? Where is that? He's in the church.
Yeah, the verse that comes to mind is, where two or three are gathered, there am I.
Right. There I am in their midst, right? So here's the church, right? Where two or three are gathered, Christ is there with his people, with his word and with his sacraments. And that is where we actually receive the gifts of God. You can't receive forgiveness while sitting on the lake ice fishing. I'm not saying you're not forgiven if you're ice fishing. What I'm saying is you don't actually receive it as Christ gives it. Right?
Right.
Through the means that Christ gives. So it's not enough to say I'm communing with God out in nature. Because out in nature, you know, you see the bunny and you think, oh, God is such a wonderful creator. Look at this fluffy bunny he's given us. And then another one of God's creatures, the hawk, comes swooping down and latches onto that bunny and rips it to shreds and eats it. Well, that's not God's grace giving to us. There's the law, right? But God is still the God of nature. So there's the distinction between God being present with unbelievers, but then distinguishing that from God being present with his people. God makes the rain fall upon the field of the believer just as he does the unbeliever. God is still gracious to the unbeliever, gives him all good things and so forth, though the unbeliever doesn't receive it in faith. The believer does, receives it with thanksgiving. And the unbeliever then is not receiving the means of grace that God wants to give him by being outside of the place where God is present with his means of grace.
So that in a sense, or in a way, that kind of leads us to our next question, David, the first one that we have. So mm-hmm. Why don't we go ahead and jump to that question, the first one we have.
Okay. Why is it easier to believe in other things instead of the one true God?
Yeah, so you look... You look throughout the entire world, and you've got all sorts of different religions. You've got all sorts of weird things that people believe in, or people who believe in evolution or that kind of thing. You know, they take a look around the world and they go, well, that makes sense. That's how it works. There's no way that God can do it. I'd rather believe that instead. So, you know, and I just had a conversation with somebody not that long ago where they are living in sin. They choose to live in sin. It's easier for them to believe that what they're doing is okay,
mm-hmm.
even though God says that sin is not to be lived in. So maybe this might be a dumb question for some people, but I honestly think this is a good question for those who are truly seeking out there. Why is it easier to believe in other things instead of the one true God?
Mm-hmm. One thing comes to mind here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Man is naturally, since the fall, the fall into sin has made us be curved in upon ourselves. We make ourselves God and put ourselves in his place. And so we are by nature not just ambivalent to the one true God. We're not just kind of, don't really care about him or kind of neutral. We're not, there is no spiritual Switzerland, right? We're not neutral. We are by nature actually opposed to the Lord. We are at enmity with him by nature, by the fall into sin. We lack by nature fear, love, and trust in God. Those who are familiar with the First Commandment and Luther's Small Catechism will pick up on that. We lack that fear, love, and trust in God. And so we are conditioned to believe anything else, to an extent, than what the Lord has to say to us. Psalm 14, I think, is also helpful. The first three verses: the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There's no one who does good. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside together. They have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Mm-hmm. So we are there curved in upon ourselves, and by nature, the old Adam in us struggles then against the Lord. Faith is a gift, and you alluded to this in the first question, that faith is not something that comes from within us. That is, it does not originate in us. Faith is given. My favorite part of the catechism: I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. Faith is a gift worked in us by the Holy Spirit. And so the natural man is going to gravitate towards the things of the flesh, but only by the gift of the Holy Spirit do we cling to the things of the Spirit. Do we have faith?
We got like a minute and a half. Where in the Bible does it say that we are given faith?
One place, Jesus says, "You did not choose me; I chose you." We also mentioned here 1 Corinthians chapter 2,
yeah.
Verse 15. I read verse 14.
Okay.
Let me read you verse 15. Verse 14, the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. And earlier in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Look at a number of other places as well. But here we see that the spiritual things can only be apprehended by those who the Spirit has given faith to apprehend those things, to confess those things.
And that's actually quite comforting, because everybody else out there, they're always wanting to do something to save themselves, and they always fall short, and life is not great for them when it comes to realizing that they can do nothing to be saved. So to hear that from Scripture, that God saves us, Jesus has come to save us, and there's nothing we can do to be saved, it's very comforting.
It is the good news.
It is the good news. You're listening to The Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk, along here with David. Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Jesse Burns from Ventura, Iowa. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
You are listening to KNNALP 95.7 FM, Lincoln, Nebraska.
If you have questions you have been wanting to ask a pastor, but haven't for whatever reason, then here is your chance. You can send your questions to the Y-Files, where we will then ask your question on the Y-Files program on your behalf. Just go to the Y-Files Facebook page and submit a question. It's that easy. Tune in to the Y-Files every Sunday at 2 p.m. for new episodes. You don't want to pass this up.
Every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m., yours truly, old lovable Jack Kirk.
And me, Nancy, who Jack calls Princess Nancy, will take you on a quick musical walk back in time with the music of the big band era.
And we also bring you some of the history of those times,
along with the information on local Lincoln area dance bands for your listening and dancing pleasure.
Why not join Nancy and me every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on When Music Was Music, right here on The Cross, KNNALP FM 95.7. The United States, her constitution unlike that of any other world nation, a national ensign that proudly flies higher than any other, and servants, men and women who have taken an oath, a solemn witness promise, to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and to bear true faith and allegiance to that Constitution, that our Constitution and our way of life may stand firm as they have. Oh, thus be it ever when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that has made and preserved us as a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. They are called Marines, soldiers, sailors, airmen, Coast Guardsmen. The Cross, KNNALP FM 95.7. Thanks God for you. God bless you all, and may God bless America.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. Hello. I am Captain Kirk, and I didn't even get my dad joke in today, David.
I was just thinking that.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. Say hello, David.
Hello, David.
So dumb, but it's so fun. Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Jesse Burns from Ventura, Iowa. And right before the break, I offered the question of where in Scripture does it say that God works faith in us? And Pastor, you mentioned at first, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12, 13, 14, 15. And then you even got into another one that I missed because I was taking notes and I didn't write it down. But then you wanted to add a little bit more to that question.
Sure, we've got a number of places we could look. Ephesians 2 is a important chapter when we talk about faith and spiritual life. There at the beginning, we hear you were dead in trespasses and sins, as everyone's aware, dead means dead, right? Spiritually right. Dead. But God, being rich in his mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with grace. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He goes on, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this, that is faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. God gives us even the faith by which we have salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we hear, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. No one can confess the faith except that the Holy Spirit gives that faith to them. So there's a number of other places too we could look, but I think those are some very important texts for us to bear in mind, and for, you know, those maybe who are curious to learn a little more about this, to take a look at.
You had mentioned spiritually dead, and I think everyone listening kind of has an understanding what you mean by that. But I want to go way back to the book of Genesis, and you know, God told Adam and Eve, if you eat of this tree, you're going to die. Okay, so they ate from the fruit of the tree, and they didn't die.
Not right away.
Well, right. So, but God said, you're going to die if you eat it. Well, how come they didn't die? So can you explain death and spiritual death, please?
Sure. I would argue Adam and Eve did die right then. You're right. They didn't physically die yet. That does come. But what does it say? That their eyes were opened, and they saw that they were naked. So before they had no shame, now their eyes are open and they have shame. They realize that they are really cut off from God, and in serious danger. So what do? They sew fig leaves together and then they try to hide amongst the trees. And I think it's interesting, you know, if you talk that out and you think, how ridiculous is that? You're trying to hide from God behind a bunch of trees. Isn't that awful? And then we stop and think, well, what do we do with our own sin and shame? We try to hide it in other ways, perhaps not behind trees.
Right.
And yet we still do it. So they are already in death. They are in the midst of death. And yet what does God do? He promises to send them a savior, one to be born of the woman, the seed of the woman to crush the head of the serpent. So, you know, we can, and the scriptures speak of death in a couple different ways. There's the death of the body, that is the separation of the soul from the body, and the body dead and buried. But also there's spiritual death, and that is to be apart from faith. And consigned to damnation. Mm-hmm. So here, as Paul's writing to the Ephesians in chapter 2, he says, and you were dead. Well, they obviously weren't physically dead. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. They are dead spiritually, as he says, in which you formerly walked. You lived in death by being apart from faith and apart from forgiveness. Jesus again speaks in John's gospel, whoever believes in me will never die, and he who dies will live again. That there is this distinction between physical death and spiritual and eternal death. Mm-hmm. That even though for the Christian he dies a physical death, yet he's already delivered from the spiritual eternal death. By faith in Christ, and will then be in the resurrection physically as well.
I'm going to go a little bit off on a tangent here, David.
Nice.
Pastor, you had mentioned going back to Adam and Eve. You had mentioned how their eyes were opened after they had sinned. Does that mean that God had blinded them prior to that? Not physically. I mean, just like spiritually. You know, did that mean God blinded them?
No, actually, as their eyes are open, they go blind.
Interesting.
As their eyes go open, they go blind. Before they had, before they knew nothing, but God and his love for them. They trusted in Him. The devil leads them to actually mistrust the word that God had spoken to them, and so now their eyes go from looking to their Creator and the Giver of all good things, given them everything, to now I used the terminology earlier that they're curved in on themselves. Mm-hmm. Now they are staring at their own bellies, and they're not having their eyes on the Giver of all good things. Now they cannot see past themselves. And so it's not as though God had withheld anything from them. That's actually what the devil says, right? That the God is withholding something from you. The God is lying to you. But the exact opposite was true.
Mm-hmm.
The devil was lying to them to make them think that somehow there was something else out there. But now their eyes are opened so that they see shame. Now they are ashamed.
Okay.
Now they know sin, which they did not know before.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, good. David?
So Adam and Eve experienced spiritual death. Does that mean that they didn't have faith following their fall?
No, but again, God comes to them to give them the promise to cling to.
I see.
So as the Lord comes, and I love this scene here, verse 9 of Genesis chapter 3. Then the Lord God called. Context here: Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves into loincloths, and then verse 8: they hear the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Luther says something in his Genesis commentary that all they heard was the rustling of a leaf, and they were terrified at the sound of God coming. That's what sin has done to them. It's killed them. It separated them. Before this, think about it. God brought all the animals to Adam, and Adam named them. God took a chunk out of Adam's side and built him a bride, and then in a beautiful wedding ceremony led his daughter to her bridegroom, who says, "This at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh," and husband and wife are united. God does all this right there with them in their midst, and now all of a sudden they are terrified of him. Talk about spiritual death, right?
Yeah.
But verse 9, then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" It's not as though God doesn't know where they're at physically, that they're hiding behind the trees. This question isn't for his benefit. It's for Adam's. It's the question of the law. Hey, Adam, where are you?
Mm-hmm.
So that Adam can be convicted by the law. I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked. Then he asks another question. Who told you that you were naked? You know, he's leading him to this realization of his sin. He's leading him to a confession, which the man instead points to the woman. The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree to eat. God goes to her. What's this you've done? She points to the serpent. Then God goes to the serpent, and he does not ask the serpent a question as he does Adam and Eve. Instead, he says to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life." Then verse 15. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." So what has God done? And he's spoken this in the presence of Adam and Eve. He has given them a promise that one is going to come from the seed of the woman. Now, biology majors are going to stop there and kind of go, "What?" One is going to come from woman.
Our Savior.
Who is going to crush the head of the serpent, to destroy his power. And the devil's power over us is that of accusation and temptation. The devil accuses us of our sin. And he's going to destroy that power because he's going to take our sin away. And how is he going to do that? By having his heel bruised, by having his feet and his hands nailed to a cross. And in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, "I have gotten a man with," and almost all of our English translations say this, "with the help of the Lord," but Luther and Lutherans up until even into the early 20th century always translated this as, "I have gotten a man, the Lord." In other words, Adam and Eve had faith in the promise, faith that is a little bit misconstrued here, but they think God has already given us the fulfillment of it.
Joining us this afternoon here on the Wife House is Pastor Jesse Burns. We got to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The LP in KNNA-LP stands for low power. It means we only have a certain amount of wattage to broadcast our station. So, when you hear us start to fade, go to our free KNNA app for your mobile device or go to the web at www.thecross957.org and listen to us wherever you go.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'd like to invite you to join us to worship with us at Good Shepherd. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages in between. We also worship on Wednesday evenings, 6:30. Please join us, won't you? And may God richly bless your day.
Hey, Old Lovable Jack.
What?
We lost power to the radio again.
Again?
Yeah.
What are we going to do unless people can donate to us and help us, you know, keep on the air and make the repairs?
I know. With donations, we can buy backup systems and equipment so that when something goes down, as it happens, we can quickly replace it and get back on the air for our fans.
Boy, it would sure be neat if everybody that we know could donate to us and just help us out a little bit.
Yeah, so they can just go to www.thecross957.org.
Really?
Yes, that's www.thecross957.org.
And it's real easy from there, isn't it?
Just click on that donate button and follow the instructions. Or maybe they could snail mail it, Jack.
They could. They could send a check to us right here at KNNALP, 3825 Wildbriar Lane, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68516. See, Nancy, I do remember where we work.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk, along here with David. Say hello, David.
Hello, David.
See, I officially got it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Jesse Burns from Ventura, Iowa. And we have been discussing a lot. Omnipresence, faith, seeking God, Jesus coming to us, forgiveness of sins, confession of sin. Oh my goodness, we've covered a lot of ground today.
Mm-hmm.
But before we move on to our next question, David, I just want to give a shout out to KRRC LP in Rogue River, Oregon. I almost said Iowa. Oregon. Thanks for listening to this program. It's great to have you on board. You can go to our Y-Files page, like our page on Facebook, share our page, and you can even ask a question that you have for us that we can ask on your behalf to pastors in the future. But usually we have our pastors scheduled at least a month in advance. I try to anyways, and they will be given – I'll have questions for them in preparation. So if you give me a question, you might have to wait a little bit, and I try to do my best to let listeners know when I'm going to be asking that question so they know when to tune in for that moment. Okay, so David – let's move on to our next question.
All right, question two, or I guess it'd be three. If God gives us faith, then why do we struggle with it?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's an important question. You know, we've talked a little bit here that the Holy Spirit calls us to the faith. St. Paul, writing to the Romans, says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So faith is a gift, and Jim, as you mentioned earlier, you know, that's very comforting. That the Holy Spirit gives us faith. It's a gift. That therefore it means that it doesn't depend on anything within me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a work of the Holy Spirit. Yet at the same time, we have this realization, this understanding, this experience of struggling. And sometimes, and I don't really like this kind of language of weak faith, strong faith, kind of giving this arbitrary kind of idea to it.
Or the one that we hear most often is, if you just had more faith.
Ah, yeah, that's the one that I really, really, really can't stand. If you just had more faith, then this wouldn't have happened. As if somehow, and here's what happens, is that faith gets turned into a work. Faith becomes something that you are doing rather than about, I'm going to make the argument, the object of your faith. See, weak faith, so-called weak faith, oftentimes what people mean when they talk about weak faith or struggling in the faith is that that they're suffering, that they're struggling with something, and you know, they're not sure why things are happening or whatever. The Lord has laid crosses upon them, and they're struggling to understand why or what this is doing, and so forth. And so the way we sometimes talk about it is, well, I'm struggling with the faith, or I have weak faith. The faith that clings to Jesus in the midst of that suffering, in the midst of that struggling, is a strong faith. Your faith is as strong as the object to which your faith holds on to. The way I kind of explain it to the confirmation kids or the Sunday school children is, think about, you know, we're coming up to Christmas, and you think about the child at Christmas. You know, mom or dad hands them a gift, and they receive it by their in their hands, right? It's placed into their hands, and they cling on to it. Well, the Lord comes and He gives us His Son. Christ comes into our flesh to redeem us, and we latch on to Him in faith. It's about the object of that faith, our Lord Jesus. So why do we struggle with it? Well, Luther had a triad that he used to speak specifically about how a theologian is made. But it's also true then, just kind of as for Christians in general, every Christian is a theologian, one who studies the word. Three Latin phrases: oratio, meditatio, and tentatio. These are the things that make a theologian. What those are is prayer, oratio, meditation, and not sort of in the Eastern kind of, you know, trance meditation. Meditation meaning meditation on the Word of God. We have a great collect, you know, to pray for the Word, that we would hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the Word, that we chew on it. We ruminate on it. We hear it, and we think on it, and we let it kind of form how we think, and so forth. So prayer, study of God's word, if you will, and then tentatio, that is struggle, suffering. And it's kind of like a big circle that you know, we hear the word of God, we meditate on it, we ruminate on it, we chew on it, and that leads us into praying it. You know, we pray the words of the Lord. This is one of the great, beautiful things about the historic liturgy in the church. We are praying God's word. We are praying the Psalms. We are praying the Scriptures. We're hearing our Lord's word. We're chewing on it, meditating on it, and so forth. And we use that to form the very words that we speak back to God. We don't have to come up with stuff from within our own hearts. We don't have to conjure up stuff. But we're formed by the word of God to pray these things. This then leads into then suffering. We whether it be from outside of ourselves in persecution because we hold to the word of God, because we pray, you know, the world then hates us and persecutes us, or the internal struggle of the old man in us that we've talked about here already this afternoon, that the old man is fighting against the new man of faith that's been worked in us by the Holy Spirit, that we are at the same time saint and sinner, and that sinner part of us is struggling against the saint part. And in the midst of that struggle, we're led back then to praying and to meditating on the Word of God. Here I'm struggling with, if we want to say, struggling with the faith, or struggling against temptation, or suffering because of the faith, where do I turn? I turn back to my Lord Christ. Where has He come to me? In the Scriptures. Well, how do I turn to Him? I call out to Him in prayer. And so it's this circular thing, and sometimes we're doing all of them at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I think there's great comfort in knowing this, that just because we are struggling does not mean that we are without faith. If we were without faith, we wouldn't be struggling. But it's because we are in faith that we are struggling with that. And so this ought not be kind of this type of question, which I would urge people who are thinking this way, it ought not lead us to despair, but rather to drive us back to our Lord's word, to hear his promise again, to hear that promise, lo, I am with you to the very end of the age. And know that that he will be faithful to that. We can speak of our struggles and our sufferings as crosses that are laid upon us. Well, Christ, whom we are being molded in the image of, has borne the cross for us, and so we follow him. And what did Christ do? He prayed, and he meditated on the words of Scripture, and so forth.
One thing that comes to mind, I always say that, one thing that comes mm-hmm. to mind, that's my go-to phrase apparently. Maybe people come up with the term of if you just had more faith, or if your faith was stronger. Do you think people come up with that phrase because of that mustard seed example given to us in Scripture of ye of little faith? Or, you know, if you just had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could move this mountain kind of a thing. So do you think that's where that comes from as far as what size of faith that you have?
Oh, quite possibly. I think it comes from by nature we are people of the law. What I mean by that is that we like to have kind of stepping stones by which we can do things. We like to think that we are fulfilling and keeping the law for the sake of kind of glorifying ourselves. Mm. And so I think we kind of have this knee-jerk reaction to say, well, if you had more faith, yeah. as if it's something you are doing, that you wouldn't have these struggles. And I think quite the opposite is true. That because you have faith, there are going to be these struggles.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So I think you're probably onto something. That yeah, this idea of Jesus talking about the mustard seed. But there again, what is that faith? What does that faith look like? That's the tiniest of the seeds, right?
Right.
It's small, and yet that faith blooms and blossoms. Well, the seemingly weak faith. That is genuine faith in Christ is going to bloom into eternal life. Even that weak faith is really strong faith when that faith is in Christ.
I'm glad you finished off that mustard seed part, because I was going to bring it up if you weren't. it was how it just blossoms into something massive. So that's all the time we've got. We've got less than 2 minutes left of the actual program. So mm-hmm. I just want to say really quick, thank you again, Pastor Burns, for coming on to the program. It's always great to have you on, and I look forward to having you on again. And we'll save that other question for you. We won't mm-hmm. give it to anybody else. And I won't tell anybody what that question is. They're all good questions.
Look forward
good
to
questions.
It.
Yeah, so there's your cliffhanger for the show. So once again, thanks for coming on the program. This has been the Y-Files with myself, Captain Kirk, and David. Welcome. See, I'm just having one of my days. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. If you have a question, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/theYFiles, or just search the Y-Files, or even KNNALP, mm-hmm. And that will help you find the Y-Files. So, again, welcome to KRRCLP in Rogue River, Oregon. It's great to have you on. You can also send us your questions as well. That's the beauty of internet, is that we're all just so closely linked together via mm-hmm. internet. It's really cool. Really cool. So, anyways, yeah, that's it. I got nothing. That's it.
It's the end of the show.
It's the end of the show. We'll see you next week. Wait, no, we won't.
We
won't, because it's almost Christmas, so we're going to be taking a couple weeks off.
All right.
So we'll be back in 2019.
There you go. Next year. See you next year.
Yeah, see you next year. So have a great week.